الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفاه أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واتقوا يوما ترجعون فيه إلى الله ثم توفى كل نفس ما كسبت وهم لا يظلمون صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الحديث ما معناه لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم أيضا من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليسكت أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم My respected ulama, elders and brothers, one is our gratitude and shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by His grace and mercy given us this complete and perfect deen. And moreover, He by His grace and mercy has made us in the ummah of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That these are amongst the greatest of ni'mats and favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over us. Because these are favors that we did not get. Every favor is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But by acquisition or by rightfulness or by entitlement. Having this iman and being given the tawfiq and the ability to say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, this is surely and purely a very, very special favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over us, wherein we did not have or put our hand or do anything. And it is upon this basis that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with people in this world, first and foremost. And it is on the basis of this kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with people in the real and the final and the eternal journey of every human being, and that is the life of the year after. That it is only on this basis the criteria and the gauge of success for each and every human being, it is only on the spirit of obedience and adherence to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants at any given time, and which way it is executed, that is the way of Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no other way. And in carrying over this message to humanity, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave his everything, his whole life force was spent only and only on imparting that which came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the welfare and for the salvation of human beings and the whole ummah at large till the end of time. It is said that there is a very, very strong connection that a Nabi has in his heart for his Ummat. Every Nabi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention in various places of the Quran that you tell them that in this conveying of this message, I do not want anything in return. I don't want anything in return. So by day also, by night also, it is just one concentrated worry. That is why the Sahaba, when they describe Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam amongst his many sterling and outstanding characteristics and features, they would describe Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as such: "Kana mutawasilul ahzan, wada'imul fikra, laysat lahu raha." That when a person looked at Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was always as if deep in thought, or he was deep in thought, that someone would look at Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, say that he is in grief and concern. Da'imul fikra, that always in worry and concern. Laysat lahu raha, that there was no rest. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was always restless. And we can understand and come to only one conclusion, that what was the motivating factor for this restlessness of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? It was none other than the well-being and the salvation of the great responsibility which was put on his shoulders, that was the salvation of the whole humanity, which is his ummah. So this was that sole factor and reason which prompted Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to be so restless and to be so grieved. In the verses that I've recited, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. The rough translation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that fear that day, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا, that day which is impending and it is coming, تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ, that each and every one of you willingly, unwillingly, happily, unwillingly, or with resistance, that you are going to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So fear for that day and make preparation for that day. ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. And then when you will return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then every soul will be recompensed as to what they did in this worldly life of this. وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. And no injustice, no unfairness will be meted out to anyone on that day. لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَعَلَيْهَا مَكْتَسَبَتْ. Allah Ta'ala says, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. That whoever will do an iota of good, he will see that day in front of him. And whoever does the smallest of wrong, he will see in front of him. To such an extent, the wrongdoers, those who denied Allah, or even those who were disobedient to Allah in this worldly life, Allah Ta'ala says about them, اقرأ كتابك وكل إنسان ألزمناه طائره في عنقه. That every human being, we have hung his fortune around his neck. ونخرج له يوم القيامة كتابا يلقاه منشورا. And on the day of Qiyamah, when the day of reckoning will occur, or the time of reckoning will occur, that book which we cannot see, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned it, it is haqq. And what is being recorded? By the recording angels. Kiraman katibin, ya'alamuna ma taf'alun. Wa inna alaykum lahafidin. Those honorable angels and scribes, whatever you are doing, whatever you are saying, your hands, your feet, the motions, your comings, your going, every movement of your eye, your ear, every part of your body, whatever you are doing, it is being noted, it is being recorded. And on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala says, وَنُخْرِجُ لَهُ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ kitab. That kitab will be taken out from each and every person, and it will be opened up, and it will be told to that person, اِقْرَأْ كِتَابَكْ, that you become your own accountant, you become your own auditor. كَفَى بِنَفْسِكَ الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكَ حَسِيبًا. Here's the story of your life now. You read everything by minute or by second, by hour, by day, by week, by month, by year. Right till you left this world now, here is your book. You decide and check the balances. And you decide for yourself where you must go. Let alone the angels and the knowledge of Allah and the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah says, مَنِ اهْتَدَى فَإِنَّمَا يَهْتَدِي لِنَفْسِي. That whoever comes onto guidance and opts and chooses hidayat and the road of hidayat and the way of hidayat, then it is for his benefit. And whoever chooses misguidance, then it will be a weight and a burden on him on the day of Qiyamah. So nonetheless, in the heart of a Nabi, it is only and only there is complete sheer selflessness that my ummah must acquire that real salvation. So these verses The ulama and the mufassirin say that this is the last portion of the verse. This is just before the end of Surah Baqarah. Before Lillahi ma fi samawati wa ma fil ard. But it was the last verses of wahi that came to our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And after that, no wahi came. And in a matter of a few days, 1-2 weeks, then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam departed from this dunya. So coming back to the point, that in the heart of a Nabi, there is a very strong connection with his ummah. So just 1-2 touching incidents. It is said that when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was leaving this world, amongst the last actions of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was that from his hujra sharif, from his room, that is the room of Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, where he spent the last few days of his illness. That amongst the last things that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did was there was a veil or a parda from in the room and then leading to the masjid. So either Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself or requested that move that parda, and then this was the last glance that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam glanced at his ummah. And then shortly after that, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam left this world. Another touching moment at that critical time, when sakarat was taking place, Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, our mother, says that I always was under this notion or misunderstanding that a person who undergoes difficulty at the time of maut, that pangs of maut and the sakarat, that this is an indication that this person is a wrongdoer. And because of his gunas and his sins now, that he is having pain. The last moments now and the ruh is coming out, it is on account of this. She says, until I saw my beloved, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that what was his condition when he was leaving this dunya. He said that the pain that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had, it comes in some of the narrations, the ulama say that he asked, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Jibreel alayhi salam, that what is this that I am experiencing and undergoing, O Jibreel? The Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was informed, said that, O Muhammad, that this is the sakarat of maut. This are the pangs of death and the pains of death. Imagine one tooth a person pulls out. It is with us in our mouth, in our gums for so many years. Sometimes with the anesthetic. The anesthetic, it might make it easy. If it is a wisdom tooth, how difficult it is. How difficult is the healing process. More painful than that is the sakarat of maut. More painful. And there's no anesthetic also. So he asked Jibreel Islam that, oh Jibreel, what is this? He said, no, this is the pangs and the pains of maut. He says, what is going to happen to my ummah? He said that your ummah will also undergo this sakarat and the pangs of maut. On that, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if that is the case, then you put all the sakarat that they are going to undergo, you put it onto me, heap it onto me, and make it easy for them. And the ulama explained this, that why was there so much pain in or that ruh, the mubarak ruh coming out? It is said because of that strong and close connection with his ummah. That's a sacred soul on the one hand is saying, ila rafiqil a'la, ila rafiqil a'la. But so overcome and absorbed in his ummah, that one must be in every type of comfort. That is just with keeping him back. Because on one occasion, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said towards the end, that one person has been given, he told the sahaba, preparing them for that impending day when he's going to leave this dunya, that a person has been given the choice of having a long life and the other is going to meet his friend the Most High. And he has chosen his friend the Most High. So the ulama explained that Sakarat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it was on this because of that strong connection with the Ummah, that this is now, I'm going to leave this Ummah now, and on one hand going to meet Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So this was that reason of that Sakarat. So coming back to this point, my friends and brothers, so can we imagine that awesome love and connection that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had with the whole Ummah? It comes in the Hayatul Sahaba, one beautiful, beautiful long narration, that the final moments and the parting of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave wasiyah to the Sahaba, that they asked, "Oh Rasulullah, then who's going to make your ghusl?" He said, members from my family, the Ahlul Bayt. And then, "Oh Rasulullah, who will make your tadfeen? Who will shroud you and make your dafan?" Said, "My family members." "Oh Rasulullah, how we will make janazah? That first you, after you bury me, put me into the lahad, into the pit of the grave, and then step back, go out of the room for a while, because my friend Jibreel will come, and the great, great malaika will come. They will perform my janazah. And thereafter, my family members, and then rank by rank, the sahaba and the men and the women, that they will perform my janazah." Amongst the things that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told the sahaba at that time, that you convey my salams to my ummah that still hasn't seen me. So such a connection. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the person who is the most closest to me is that person who is most ansah, who has that quality or that characteristic of welfare of his ummah. Kana yu'jibuhu. In whatever way, whatever form, anybody who had this the spirit of well-wishing for his ummah, he was considered as being close to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Hazrat Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, it is said about him, those final days when he is sending, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is sending Mu'adh radiallahu anhu towards Yemen, and few days already in advance, he's giving him the different guidelines and guidance that you will go here, this will be the type of people, and this is how you must do, this is how you must call them to Islam, those that are in Islam, this is how you must teach them. So different advisors. Until then eventually, one day, Hazrat Mu'az radiallahu anhu, he's summoned, that come with your mount or with your horse, your animal, and be prepared to make the journey. And Hazrat Mu'az is dreading that day, because the Sahaba could tolerate anything, but they could not tolerate separation from our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The books of Sirat are filled with that deep, deep and intense love that the Sahaba had for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So that final moments are coming now. And it is time for departure. One is the lover, one is the beloved. Hazrat Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu, just by the way, it is said about him, he was once mounted behind Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, "Ya Mu'adh," he said, "Labbaik, Ya Rasulullah wa Sa'adik." That, "Oh Rasulullah, I am hazir, I am present." Again, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam addressed him, "Ya Mu'adh," said, "Labbaik, Ya Rasulullah wa Sa'adik." And then the third time again, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Ya Mu'adh," he's sitting behind, right behind him. He says, "Oh Mu'adh," then, after the third time, let it not be that after every salat and shua, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught him this one beautiful dua. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, let it not be that you pray a salat and you miss this dua. What is the dua? "Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik." The ulama explained there is so much khair and goodness in that dua. To us it is just a few words, we'll read it, we might not read it, we'll read it consciously, unconsciously, but it is so much khair and goodness is encapsulated in that one dua. "Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik." There's no time to go into the detail of that dua, but nonetheless, Hazrat Mu'adh, now the time for parting has come, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is walking with him. "Oh Rasulullah, you mount the animal, let me walk." "No, no, no. You are going in the path of Allah. You are going on a great mission to uplift the situation and the condition of my ummah. That it is more rightful that you are mounted on the animal and I walk. And Nabi Sassim is holding the reins of the animal, the nose of the animal, and Nabi Sassim is speaking to him. And then eventually, those most touching words, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him that, "Oh Mu'adh, when you will return, you are going to come to my masjid and you will pass by my qabr. You will not see me again in this world." Now imagine what must be the condition of the heart of Hazrat Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu. That he's going on the mission for deen, for the work of deen, and the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He could have begged and pleaded that, "Oh Rasulullah, no, let me wait a bit. Let me just enjoy those few moments with you." And no heart will be filled to satisfaction in the presence of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But it was for that mission of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That part of the ummah at that time, that they needed that beautiful teachings and tabligh of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he tolerated that very, very, very sad parting. And definitely when he went away, and in that time, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam departed from this dunya. So my friends and brothers, every one of us, definitely no one can question another with regards to his love and his connection with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every one of us, anyone who has said La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, definitely he has a very special type and intense love for his Nabi. That is why on one occasion, that is why this is the day of Jummah also, Nabi Sassim taught us, "Send salat and salam on me excessively." That a person who sends salat and salam or durood on Nabi Sassim once, Allah Ta'ala sends 10 on him. Different forms. For him it will be rahmah, maghfirat, it will be rahmat, it will be barakat for the reciter. And in his sending the salutation and the salam and salat and salam, it is not going to increase the rank of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So just one time, Sahaba asked, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked the Sahaba, who is a bakhil, who is a stingy, selfish person. Said, "Oh Rasulullah, you tell us." He said that a bakhil and a selfish person, one is the one we know, that even if he's got a 1 rand, or a 5 rand nowadays, you can't even talk of a 5 cents because it's not in the silver anymore. You go give a person outside, give him a bronze or whatever it's made of, a copper, what will you throw it back in your face? So what is a bakhil that even he might have 1 silver in his, even is a 1 rand or a 2 rand or a 5 rand. And it's just lying in his pocket, maybe the whole week when it's still lying in his pocket. And yes, someone who is genuine, not a chancer, or by the way, but he can part with it and it will add value to that person, his life, it will be a meal for him, it will be a sort of assistance to him, but he withholds. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no, a bakhil and a truly selfish person, that is also a selfish person, but more than that is that person who hears my name and he does not send salat and salam, durud sharif on our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So summing up, that Allah Ta'ala give us the true love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, give us the tawfiq to engage ourselves as much as possible, salat and salam on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and along with that, that work and mission and those things that cause restlessness to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah bless us with that beautiful quality also. Allah Ta'ala says, لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعُ النَّفْسَكَ, that perhaps, oh my beloved, are you going to finish yourself up that they are not listening to what you are telling them? You are reciting the Quran to them, you are inviting them towards Allah, and they are showing aloofness and they are ignoring you. Are you going to finish yourself to such an extent? So that beautiful quality, it is a quality to develop this worry and concern that what is happening to the ummah today. Look around, not very far, everywhere in our midst. Despair, it is forbidden in our deen. But imagine what are the levels of despair. In us, those that have iman. Now if that is the condition of those who have iman, imagine what is the state of despair of those who do not know Allah and Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in every way, it is our sacred responsibility, whether it is individually, whether it is in the form of the jamaats that go, but to go and touch one person, my beloved brothers, we do not know what changes are being affected. I will just give you one small little report now that happened in the last 2-3 weeks. Alhamdulillah, the jamaats that are walking for 4 months, which we call the pedal jamaats. One is the English pedal, which means pedal, so that's connected to the bicycle or a motorbike perhaps. But pedal in Urdu means to walk. But nonetheless, one jamaat which is still walking in the path of Allah, somewhere just outside Gauteng. So they came to a place, masjid is closed. Alhamdulillah, most of the masjids are open, but there are that one, two, maybe on the outskirts, that are still affected. And believers should never be affected by conditions. Why? Because a believer has Allah and his Rasul. A believer has the house of Allah. A believer has masjid, namaz, the Quran, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So masjid was closed. Jamaat put up somewhere and they started making gusht in that locality, knocked on one door, a person opened up the door. His immediate response was that you people just came on the right moment, the right time. He says that I'm in such a condition and a state of despair and loss of hope that I was just on the verge of taking my life now. Just that knock on the door. So every one of us, we ourselves become part and parcel of this great and noble work of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if we cannot, for whatever challenges we might have, then at least make dua for them, support them, and encourage those that are in our circle, our friends, or our children, or our nephews, that you become part and parcel. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us the glad tidings that a person who indicates towards any good, it is like he has did that good, he will get the same reward. So Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq inshaAllah. Give us strong iman and give us firmness on iman. And Allah Ta'ala make us a means of this beautiful iman and beautiful way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spreading in the whole world.